Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with myself and my guest, my friend, my adopted son, also great broadcaster, Chuck Ocelli. If you're not familiar with Chuck's work, get over to ocelli.com. There's a live link right here. Just click it and boom, you're there. Good morning, Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Mom. I think it's morning. I'm not sure if it's good, but then again, I don't think I'm the only one confused on the planet. How about you?
Well, I just keep telling people over and over again, we live in interesting times. You know, it's funny because I can have conversations with the strangest people. You know, I like to talk to people, you know, whether they're in the grocery store. You know, yesterday I had a glass man come in my house to check out some glass for me, and we started talking. And I got to tell you, Chuck, a lot of people are hep to what's going on to the best of our ability. Nobody I'm talking to is happy, whether they're wearing a mask 24 hours a day because their job requires it. I asked this young boy at the supermarket yesterday. I says, because they got to wear these skin-tight black masks that fit above their nose all across their face. I said to him, how uncomfortable is that mask all day? He said, very, but we have to wear them. So, you know, that was one. And then I'm talking to this glazier that showed up, and he's telling me how disgusted he is with this country and everything. And I think it's the general pulse out there right now is one of disgust and bewilderment. There's a good word. I haven't used that word in a long time. Bewilderment.
No, but it is accurate. Yeah, accurate descriptor. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what's really going on. We have a president. I hate to even use that term with him. That comes out, contradicts himself in the same day, tells people to do the craziest stuff, then denies he said it, even though everybody saw the video. So, you know, years ago there was a comedy. It was about how to cheat on your wife. I forget the name of it, but you won't remember. But Joey Bishop, I remember, was in the movie. And he teaches classes on how to cheat on your wife. That might have been the name of the movie. And I remember watching it when I was very young. And his whole thing is, even when his wife walks in on him with another woman, he just continues to deny to her face what she's seeing. And his thing was deny, deny, deny. And every time Trump does a flip-flop, which is like every hour on the hour, that's exactly what he does. He tells you not to believe what he said, not to believe what you see. But here's the truth. I was just being sarcastic. I was pulling a prank. I misspelled noble just to prank reporters. I mean, not smart enough to know that reporters don't get the Nobel Prize. They get the Pulitzer Prize. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing anybody this stupid as president. I mean, he's got senile Reagan beat. He's got George W. Bush, who was the, I used to call him the idiot king. I guess I'd have to come up with a better name now. And, you know, I'm not going to do presses. I am going to do presses. Attacking reporters, then saying he didn't attack reporters. Then telling people about, you know, drinking bleach and maybe injecting disinfectant. If anybody would have told me at this point in my life that you would have to tell the country not to drink Lysol or Clorox, I never would have believed it in a million years. Okay, now remember this, Chuck. You have a child. Children are watching this man. Okay, how many parents have warned their children not to touch anything that they put under the sink or laundry, bleach or detergent or whatnot? And now you've got the president encouraging this. How do you raise your children with a maniacal psychopath in office that is the worst example or role model for anyone as a husband, as a father, as a president? I mean, I'm stymied, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. This was an old song with that title. So I'm with you. I mean, every day it's a different story. Every day this virus is killing people or it's not killing people. Every day the symptoms change. Every day the age group changes. And meanwhile, while this is all going on, they're robbing us blind.
Well, you know, they did give $1,200 to some people. and some people are still waiting for it. A quick by-the-by, that movie you were talking about is A Guide for the Married Man.
There you go.
That's what it was.
A Guide for the Married Man. And you know what? It was a pretty funny movie, but I remember it. Deny, deny, deny.
Well, that's a true thing. You know what? You might be able to include a little link to the YouTube clip of him talking about exactly that part if you want, because I did a quick search. Reason is, you know what? That movie was released 5 years before I was born, so
what year?
I didn't see that one.
What year? What year did it say it was released?
67.
All right, so 1967, I was 17.
There you go. So, you know, listen, it's not, you know, beyond commensurate with our ages that, you know, I call you mom. But, you know, because you would have been 22 when I was born, that makes perfect sense.
Well, that's when I had my daughter. So, yeah, maybe she's your, maybe she's your sister from another mister.
That too, you know? So, here we go. It is remarkable to look at what's going on. It frankly is shocking to me. I think you should have your phone taken away. If you needed the Twitter account from the makers of Lysol to tell you don't drink our stuff, that's a problem. And when I also have to look at, you know, literal, like, health and safety officials from different states giving press conferences to explain, do not drink, do not inject,
right,
do not ingest in any way, shape, or form, stuff that, yeah, we tell our toddlers to stay away from under the sink for. It is a bad time period, but then again, we do live in an age where people are eating, you know, Tide Pods for fun on occasion.
Right.
So, I don't know what to make of this. And that is the trouble with this whole circumstance. See, remember, Trump cut off the whole regular daily White House briefings because his tackling dummies he kept sending out there to, you know, whether it was Sean Spicer or, of course, my favorite, Huckabee Sanders there, who basically, nope, no matter what the president says, I'm going to back it up.
Right.
You know, and with the permanent stink eye on her face there, giving it to every reporter.
Right.
Now Trump can attack him directly himself. These coronavirus press briefings, because people are so terrified by all of this mixed information out there. I mean, you can drop dead immediately, Maria. Don't you know that? You could have an embolism in your brain from this. You could die suffocating tomorrow, even though you feel good today.
Right.
Instantaneously.
Right.
Now today, there's even one of these doctors who was treating COVID patients apparently committed suicide. So maybe next thing is, because of the lockdowns and everything else, I wonder how the suicide rate is doing. I don't wonder. I've already looked. It's going up.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, you would think, you know, first of all, there's going to be more a lot of people have projected that there will be more deaths from suicide over this and other diseases that are not being treated because people are afraid to go to the hospital now.
Well, but they should be afraid. Listen, I don't ever invest in fear, but I would be reticent to go to the hospital, and I am reticent to go to the hospital, even if I needed to right now. And I'll tell you why. So many stories of people being, you know, tested, retested for COVID, and people having their deaths attributed to COVID without being tested. It seems to me as though that's all that's on the mind of the local hospital. So unless I break a bone and need it set, I ain't going. You know, and I might be able to set it myself. But
right,
if I can't, because it's not in a limb or something like that, and I require a little bit of the expertise of a battlefield medic, I guess I'll have to go. But let's hope we don't have to go there. And I wouldn't advise anybody to go to the hospital at this point, even if they normally would because of an injury or whatever. figure out a way to deal with it yourself, because I don't want to be involved
right.
in what's going on here.
Right. I mean, listen, even under normal times when I would visit or go visit somebody in the hospital, I know this might sound crazy to you, but as soon as I leave the hospital, I clear my energy. Like, as I'm walking out the door, I'm clearing my chakras, I'm clearing my energy field. I put protection around myself, spiritual protection, before I walk in. I mean, I've always been excessively paranoid about that. But now, you're not even allowed to go in the hospital. I mean, Chuck, people are holding virtual funerals for their loved ones.
Right.
Now, what bothers me is, you know, if it was my mother, my father, you know, my child in the hospital, even if they have the COVID-19, I don't want my family member dying alone. And now they are. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without even a friendly face, you know, without a familiar face, you know.
Well, and let's face it, I mean, hospitals are a place where a lot of negative energy is collected, even in normal times, because there are people that are in pain. They are, you know, vibrating on that level where, you know, pain is a vibration as well. Just like positive energy is a vibration, and you can spread that. Well, believe it or not, pain, you can actually broadcast to people, and it begins to weigh on them. So you got pain, you got death, you got fear, you got uncertainty, you've got mental disease, all collected in one place.
Yeah, it's like walking into the it's like walking into the energy of a prison. You know, years ago, so many years ago, God, it's got to be 25. I was asked, when I was teaching the medicine wheel, I was asked to teach the medicine wheel, get this, Chuck, to a Native American group in a federal penitentiary here in Arizona. They were finally allowed to have their own service, you know, if they were special prisoners. It was the only federal prison where they were allowed to do their spiritual, I won't call it religion, but practice. So if they were good, you know, good little Native Americans, they would allow them to have a powwow in the prison where they could ask any guests they wanted to come in, cook their food, you know, buffalo, whatever, you know. And they had heard me on a radio show talking about the medicine wheel. And they had their warden call and ask if I would go teach them the medicine wheel. Now, you have to understand this, Chuck. Traditionally, the medicine wheel was a Native American thing. You would think that every one of them knew how to use a medicine wheel, what it's about and all that. And I thought of the irony. I said, so they're asking an Italian woman from Brooklyn to teach them the medicine wheel. But let me tell you something. I went. It was a little scary, not too scary, because I had seen the inside of many prisons when I was young because of my past. But these guys were huge, okay? You know, the kind that are all working out in the yard and all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, after a while I got comfortable, you know, some of them tried to tease me, you know, tried to scare me, whatever. And then they kind of warmed up to me. And then, you know, after my lecture, I was invited to have dinner with them. And what a dinner, Chuck. Everything from fried bread to buffalo. I mean, everything was, they piled my plate so high. It was as tall as the Empire State Building. But what stunned me was when I left there, I had one of my friends visiting from New York. She was waiting at my house, and when I walked through the door, because she was very gifted, she just took one look at me, and she says, you have no aura. I said, what? She says, you have no aura. There's no aura around you. Now, I don't know that a lot of people know what that is, but your aura is basically the space your body lives in, okay? I'm sure you've seen aura photography and things like that, you know, the colors and your aura, this and that. She said, I had none. I was basically flatlining because there was so much negativity there and so much need that I was drained. I mean, it took me 3 days to recover from being in that energy after I was there. And that's a prison.
Yeah.
Hospitals are, as you so aptly described, exactly the same way. It's almost like walking in and out of a slaughterhouse, you know. You're not going to be walking out of there with a smile on your face anytime soon.
Well, that's the thing, is if you're receptive to energy, that's the way it is. But as of right now, I would think the fear, uncertainty, and anxiety levels in a place like that, and also in the prisons, don't forget,
right,
are even higher than normal because of this circumstance.
You got a prison in Louisiana where, I don't know, something like 600 guys already been tested for coronavirus. And yet they won't release any of their prisoners. Other states, normal states, are releasing, you know, low-level prisoners. Why not? I mean, they released Michael Cohen, for God's sakes. You know what I'm saying? So now if you go to prison on a misdemeanor or a small felony, it's a death sentence. It could very well turn out to be a death sentence.
Well, you know, it could be. And that's, again... It could be, but then again, you know, here I go. I have to use words like could, might. I'm not sure. I am unsure so much at this point about this, you know, this pandemic, its response, its roots. It is absolutely insane. There's one guy on the internet, by the way, who has time and time again somehow made himself kind of get a little bit of the spotlight out there in the virtual world. And people have paid attention to him, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to help him.
Right.
But he comes out with some of the most outlandish stuff and, you know, names and is destructive to people. And he's got an American woman now who is supposedly, you know, patient zero on COVID, you know, being terrorized by his supporters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. The scientists don't understand fully what's going on. The people in charge, the politicians, they don't know fully what's going on. I'm going to tell you what, all your conspiracy theory people, they do not know all the facts. Nobody does.
No, it doesn't.
This
you don't.
Is an amazing thing here where I can't actually sit here and say, well, the mainstream media is just lying to you. Actually, in this case, they might not be. They don't really know what's going on, I think. And I don't think anybody does, except maybe there's one group of people that might actually know what's going on. And I think we're going to find out something very interesting very soon regarding a very key element of why these things always happen in the first place, which is who benefits.
Right.
There are drug companies benefiting. There are the manufacturers of, you know, all those masks and everything that needed to be had. Those manufacturers are making bank. The people that make respirators are making bank. The drug trial people are making bank. There's a lot of money being made here.
Oh, and let's not leave out all the 90 publicly listed corporations that have sucked the PPP dry. And if they're not caught, they don't return it. Some of them say they won't return it. The Lakers, for God's sakes, got millions of dollars. And because they got caught, they said they're going to return it. But another corporation that's a friend of Trump said they're not returning it. I think they got $26 million. Now, my daughter has a small business. You know what she got? $1,000. A real small business. I saw some guy who owns a pizza store, a video of this guy who owns a pizza store who says, you know, he needs that stimulus. He didn't get it. You know, now you got Trump who is refusing to give the stimulus to American taxpayers if they're married to an immigrant. Well, wouldn't that also define Trump? Isn't he married to an immigrant?
Yeah, well, there's always that. And then there's the possibility that money is owed by certain people to certain Chinese banks.
Right.
I wonder where all the debt is going to go. Oh, speaking of debt, what is the Federal Reserve doing? Seems as though they have surrendered all of their bargaining chips, which is very odd in this equation right now. And now you're going to think I've gone into another subject area, but I haven't. Hold on. When we consider what's going on financially, we consider the economy, which was purposely somebody pumped the brakes. Nobody really crashed it, but they pumped the brakes on it enough to cause everything in the vehicle to get shook up. When that's going on, the economic devices that tell you what your gasoline and your fuel oil ought to cost broke.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, how do you get negative $37 a barrel of oil? Does that mean you pay me to pick some up? I'm coming with a flatbed, Maria.
Right. Well, then that's, you know, the other thing with oil. You know, I passed the gas station yesterday. Price of gas is $2.39. Well, if it's selling now at $10 a barrel, why are we still paying $2.39?
Well, I've been asking that sort of question for the past couple of years because I worked in that industry, you know, around the turn of the century, right? Mm-hmm. I was working for ExxonMobil, believe it or not. And I was on the retail end of things. I wasn't in the, you know, the chemical business necessarily, but what I did have to contend with was the distribution and the way that oil is priced and how that shifts on a daily basis and all those things I had to know mm-hmm. in order to handle the retail distribution of gasoline. Okay. Here's a fact from that time period. When we had 99 cents a gallon gasoline, in 1999 and 2000, mm-hmm. okay, and that's in New Jersey. That's not in. That's not even in, you know, the cheapest state in the union, right?
Right.
When we had 99 cent a gallon gasoline there, which included the 32.9 cents for taxes, which is exactly what it comes together. That's why you have a 9 at the end of your gasoline numbers, by the way, because a combination of federal taxes comes together to have 0.9 on a of a penny. Actually in your pricing. But anyway, states vary a little because there are state and federal taxes in your gasoline. But in New Jersey, it was 32.9 cents. Mm. All right. Per gallon. Interesting thing about that. $40 a barrel oil translated to 99 cents a gallon. And the idea that we were going to break over a dollar was controversial at that time.
Right.
Now, we've had, what, $40 a barrel oil for past 2 years?
Right.
And where in the country did it go down to 99 cents? Now, in the past week or so, I've gotten reports and I've seen some of, there's actually an industry that keeps track of this stuff. And there's a couple of reputable survey taking organizations that, that do this. And I took a look at it. And there are some parts of the country where we have returned to 99 cents. Hmm. But you know what? It's still generally, you know, in that $2 range throughout most of the country. And we had a negative price point. We had $10 price points
right.
on oil. So tell me where the justification is if you go back to the 1990s, and don't tell me inflation, not you, Maria. I know you know better.
Right.
Some people would say, well, inflation, Chuck. No, no good. Because $40 then versus $40 now, based on a percentage, means that it should translate the same.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Listen, it's
but it doesn't. It's,
yeah, it's interesting. My younger granddaughter was here this weekend with her boyfriend, and they're saving up to move out. They want to get their own apartment. And it was funny because she asked me a question. She said, "Grandma, when you were my age, what did your rent cost?" And I had to think about it for a while. And I said to her, "It was probably, you know, in her age, she's 22." I said, it was probably $150 a month. The nicest place at that time, you know, a two-bedroom, you know, by the beach, blah, 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 was $250. You know, she's looking at, she and her boyfriend, even a one-bedroom is $1,200. And,
right.
You know, they're making minimum, you know, you're making nothing today compared to what, you know, listen, when I was working, you know, when I started, minimum wage was $1.10. You had money in your pocket, even after your bills were done, on $1.10. So, right. You know, I said to her, you know, even this glazier that was here yesterday, you know, we really got into quite a discussion. We started talking about minimum wage. And I said, you know, here you got people in this country fighting for minimum wage to be $15 when it should be $25. And he
yes.
agreed. He totally got the math. Okay. So not only are you have these people in office like Mitch McConnell and the ilk of them who think we're getting too much unemployment insurance. It's going to
yeah,
make
right.
you lazy and you're not going to go to work. But they're ripping us off blind. You know, I forget which state it was. It was some dumb red state. I hate to say it. That actually lowered minimum wage a year or so ago from $7.45. So, you know, look at it all. Now you got the oil, we covered the oil, we cover rent. But this morning's big stories are the price of meat is going up because they had to cull, I don't know how many millions of chickens because the people can't, there's nobody working at the processing plant. The pork, they're killing off the pigs because of who knows what reason. And when you look at it, it's like they're using this excuse to jack up the price of everything. And then you got greedy Americans who want to buy 100, you know, rolls of toilet paper, jacking up the price there. And you mentioned it earlier with the medical supplies. I had a story yesterday, I believe it's California or New York, where you've got people price gouging and they're paying 4,600% more for face masks. So you got American greed, you know what I mean? You've got capitalism, you've got the thieves in office, both sides as far as I'm concerned, because they're both voting on the same stimulus bills, ripping us off like nobody's business. Nobody's watching where this money's going.
Yeah, well, isn't that the fun part of this? And meanwhile, you got an administration pushing a drug which now has been proven to be a problem.
Right, heart attack okay, special. Treatment. Right.
You know, no worries. What do you got to lose? Maybe your life.
Your life. Drink bleach. What do you got to lose? You know, when he said that, I have to tell you, my mind immediately snapped to all the interviews I did after 9/11, especially when the doctors started describing the physical reaction of the first responders at Ground Zero to what they were breathing. Remember, Christy Whitman said, come back to New York, the air is clean. At that time, I was screaming, don't go into New York no matter what. The doctor said that their lungs was as if they drank Drano. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was burnt on the insides of these people. And I thought to myself, and here we are, you know, 20 years later, the president's telling people basically drink Drano. Might as well say Drano, okay? Because bleach is going to do the same thing to your insides.
Oh, well, look, if you're really looking to do damage, Drano's more effective, I think, than the bleach, maybe. you know, quite frankly, I don't understand how it is that an objective person can't view this and say, look, nobody knows what they're talking about. This guy especially never knew what he was talking about. I mean, we knew he already lived in an alternate reality because he's one of those privileged people. I discussed this last night on my show, by the way, with a renegade artist who, you know, is of an interesting history. And his name is Terry Tapp, by the way. You might want to check out some of his work. I think you would find it interesting, just on a personal level. I'm not saying even you would want to talk to him on your show, but he is a well-read and interesting guy, and brilliant well beyond the title of artist, but I like the title of artist for him. And we were discussing exactly this issue, this disconnected reality where, you know, even if we had an armed revolution, and we're going after the rich, you know, like many people do dream of.
Right.
I'm included in that, by the way.
Well, I know that day's coming, and so do they, because I reported on my show yesterday how they're all leaving for their bunkers in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. But see, here's the thing. Again, if we were to have a revolt against them, we wouldn't get them all. And here's the thing. Would it really matter?
Right.
I think, you know, the remaining survivors would say, well, more plunder for us to divvy up, and that would be it. It doesn't appear to me to be the way to get at it. There is a lot of violence being done to all of us.
Right.
Under the guise of profiteering one way or another, whether it's war profiteering or the, you know, medical industrial complex, what it does with selling people poisons and then selling them alleged solutions to the poisons. And then, you know, whoever survives, they might be able to join in for a class action lawsuit to describe exactly what the horrors were so that a minor tax gets put on that tremendous amount of profit that they get to make off of it, right? We know that that's the system. We know that this is the way it is. And yet, I still see people ignorantly walking face first into this buzzsaw right now. And again, the clarity is not there. The coherent narrative, explanation, possibilities. Can we trust anybody about preventative measures? Is any of it working out for you? No, it's not. But I guarantee you one thing, we're all, by the end of this, going to be affected in one way or another. whether it's directly or indirectly.
Right. And well, you know, they're still trying to tell us that, you know, we're going to have a new normal after this. And as you can see, I'm sure you're paying attention, there's a lot of police state things being put into place. So they say it's temporary, but you and I know whenever the government says something's temporary, it's going to be permanent, just like the Patriot Act. So you got drones in the sky. You got this tracking. I saw one guy has an ankle bracelet on so they can track him like he's a prisoner. People are getting demonized because they've had the disease, like they have leprosy, you know, being attacked. There's an insanity going on at a level I've never seen before.
Well, I'll tell you what, you don't even have to examine all that. The tracking and tracing, I want to get into you with the next half of the show because that's going to take a minute. But you don't even have to look at the news stories to know exactly how strange the anxiety-ridden public is becoming about all this, because all you got to do, and I've done it already, by the way, accidentally, going into a store somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You know, adhering to the only so many people per square inch, whatever the hell methodology they're using to determine how many people they can let into a place. But anyway, go in there and accidentally cough. Maria, try it.
Oh, yeah. You got to...
Okay.
There's a cute T-shirt. There's a cute T-shirt with a leaf of marijuana on the front that said, I'm not coughing because of the virus.
Right. Well, you know what? I bet you I got to get one of those. Because I think I need it. Because I'll tell you what, you want to watch the dirty looks, the fleeing individuals who walk quickly away.
Paranoia.
It's amazing.
Paranoia, the Destroyer, one of my favorite songs by the Kinks back in the 60s. Chuck, we need to take a break. Stay with us. Chuck and I will be right back. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water, speaking with Chuck O'Celli. Chuck, we got off on the Kinks during the break there. But if any of you are not familiar with the rock group The Kinks from the 60s, you might want to tune into at least two songs. One, Paranoia, The Great Destroyer, because I think about that with all the paranoia out there. And before I even get to the second one, when I think, you know, I've used this expression so many times, Chuck, and I'm going to say it again. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not watching you.
True enough. And, you know, with what's going on, the Kinks, man. Well, first, let me address the Kinks. Not only in the 60s, but they continued to exist and reinvented themselves in the 80s and did a remarkable thing even during the age when MTV actually had music on it and kind of ran part of the music industry. The Kinks came back around. Mm-hmm. Ray Davies himself, interesting guy. Lola, please, you really got me. The great use of a sliced speaker in order to create distortion, you know, good old hands-on artistic creation there.
Well, and the other song that everybody should listen to is Ape Man, because the words in that song are as appropriate today as they were in the 60s. Every now and then I think about those two songs. I still have them, by the way. I have all the Kinks music on my iPod when I can go work out in a gym. And I will tell you that I am missing my gym terribly. Because it was a natural part of my day. And I'm conflicted even with that. You know, they shut down the gym, but a lot of old people need the gym to keep their immune system strong and stay strong and healthy.
See, but everything's conflicted right now, Maria.
I know.
Funny thing, I'm in a place where they're reopening everything. I'm in Georgia.
I'm sorry.
And it is so bizarre. Yeah, we're going to have bowling alleys open because those aren't Petri dishes or anything, but make sure you have proper social distancing between bowling lanes.
Yeah, but you're all using the same balls. You're sticking your fingers in the same holes that who knows who was in last. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. There's no sense to any of this. Listen, if you believe that this is the new plague and it is absolutely destroying people and you think it is the thing to be feared, the idea that they only shut down things for really a month is irrational.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. If you believe that it's not anything and it's all a hoax, which, by the way, I don't agree with either one of you. If you're saying that it's, you know, the Great Plague or it's a hoax, you're both wrong. But let's go for the other extreme. Shutting things down for 30 days is not even an effective way to crash the economy. It is an effective way to pump the brakes and to do a lot of damage to a lot of people who, you know, were just surviving, and others who might have had moderate success, who had businesses and things like that. A lot of those people's lives are destroyed now.
Absolutely. A lot of people are going to be losing their homes. I mean, it's going to be the same thing on hyperspeed from 2008. The economy was already crashing, so this was very, very good news for the globalists. And we were already bailing out banks since last September. And now we're still bailing out. Wall Street's getting $1 million a day. They found, you know, $1 million a day for the banks since September. And these are the same people throwing around $2-3 trillion now who say we can't afford universal health care. Well, if this virus and pandemic and lack of supplies, readiness, preparedness, not enough doctors, nurses, etc., hasn't shown the need for a total revamp of our health system and that everyone should have health insurance, I don't know what will.
Well, yeah, look, I can't argue with that. Why is it that we don't have, you know how much money we would have saved here during this problem if, you know, there was already a industry in place that actually took care of everybody in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I wonder how that would have went. It would have been a big savings compared to this nonsense that went on. But even so, back to the paradigm where I said you got the two extremes. Neither one of them is winning here.
Right.
You have, look, if they would have shut everything down for 90 days because the contamination effect was that severe, I would have had to say, well, scientifically, you're making a little bit of sense. Okay, because you would have had to clear the sea, you know, the season would have changed. In most places, the disconnect from common contamination, you would have also had to put into place immediately a lot of these things that came into place piecemeal regarding, you know, the screens they're putting up at grocery stores, having these kids wear the masks, which,
right.
You know, again, I don't agree with necessarily. But here's the weird thing, too. We're waiting for a vaccine to save us. Okay, that makes my head hurt, but
right.
Herd immunity is what most people point out to me when they want to criticize the fact that, you know, I've got a little boy and I refuse to vaccinate him.
Yeah, but we're not talking we're not talking about measles or the mumps here. Okay.
Oh, I know, but we're not talking about that. But here's a fact about it. Stopping this for this short time period really only gave the virus time to maybe mutate.
Right.
And change the, you know, characteristics of the strain. Now, I realize I'm not a virologist. I realize that. But virologists are saying this.
Right. They're saying there were at least 8 different mutations of it out as of a few weeks ago.
Well, but there you go. And here's the thing. To allow crash exposure and to not put any sort of these shutdowns in place would have almost made more sense. I realize that some people needed to take precautions if they're were a part of more vulnerable groups,
mm-hmm.
but that could have been done without destroying a lot of people's lives.
But here's the thing, in the United States, you know, you and I had we touched on it before the show. In the United States, most people have no immune system. You know, years ago when I went to Mexico, I went to Mexico to get my migraine medication because it was too expensive here in the United States. And I had to see this Mexican doctor. And he said something very profound to me. He said, the reason most Americans get sick is because none of you have an immune system. Everything you eat and touch is sterilized, pasteurized, this, that, the other thing. You have no immune system. You're afraid. Your kids are even afraid to play in the dirt. So when they say, oh, you have to have it, you know, if you have a pre-existing illness, this is going to be worse for you, this and that. Well, how healthy are our young people when they say most hospital admissions are people between the age of 20 and 50?
Right.
And it all goes back to the immune system. Okay. And what contributes to your immune system? Number one, you got the garbage that most people eat, which is called fast food, which I think is an oxymoron because I don't consider that crap food. You've got, you know, how many, 92 vaccines by the time a kid graduates high school? You know, all these things, filthy water, you know, nothing's changed, by the way, in the water in Flint, Michigan. Nobody shut down the state of Michigan. And, you know, when you look at it, you got obesity. They say obesity now is supposed to be one of the leading causes for dying from coronavirus. Mm-hmm. You see how many more, how much more, you probably don't because you're not in Arizona. But here in Arizona, the reservations, the Native Americans are getting hit with this coronavirus many times over the rest of us. But you look at the Native Americans, all right, they're living on government handouts of the cheapest quality food that you could possibly give anybody. So a lot of them are very obese. You know they're not healthy. I see them in my own town. You know, they're young people and they're, you know, at least 100 pounds overweight. But they have to eat what they're given, okay? People are eating crap. It's like what you can buy with your food stamps and what you can't. So, you know, this is like a perfect storm coming at us from every direction, and I don't want to leave out a lot of scientists and environmentalists that are also connecting it with air pollution and the destruction we've done to the planet, the way we've treated animals in these wet markets or our own slaughterhouses. And a lot of scientists are saying we brought this upon ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a perfect storm, you know, it's craziness.
Well, and there's the thing, is because this is now coming to fruition after being engineered, whether intentionally or coincidentally, over the past few decades. I mean, look, after a while, the bill comes due. And this is why, and this is another thing you and I discussed before we went to air, but I think it's fair enough to go for it. Fact is that men are disproportionately suffering. The fact is that African Americans are disproportionately suffering. Now, indeed, there is some racism built into every system. After all, this is America. But here's the reality of that. Who's unhealthy to begin with?
Right.
This is the problem. A disproportionately unhealthy. Men are less healthy than women just in general. I think that is the divine creation in play there. But the fact is that, you know, you expose men and women to poison. I think women have a better chance of dealing with the poison than men do.
Well, now today they're talking about injecting men with female hormones to see if that stops men from, you know, being disproportionately affected. So what are they going to do? Blame this on testosterone?
Yeah, well, let's do that a little more because, after all, bisphenol A is not doing a good enough job emasculating us chemically. you know, why not? At this point, he says sarcastically, it is absolutely ridiculous.
Look, I have a friend next month. She's due to give birth.
Mm.
I spoke to her over the weekend because, believe it or not, remember I talked to you about virtual funerals. She realized the only way she can have a baby shower is a virtual baby shower. So she sent out invitations for a virtual baby shower. And she's, you know, I was talking with her and she says, I can't believe I'm going to be giving birth through the apocalypse. And her husband's not allowed to be in the hospital with her. So she's going to be in there alone. And I can't even imagine, you know, if I was a young woman right now. First of all, I can't imagine why anyone would bring a child into this world, okay, especially now. And I know people have said that for centuries, but this is a crazy time. But I can't even imagine not having your husband, who's usually your coaching partner through your, you know, your classes and lessons, and just have to either give birth alone or die alone. I mean, this is, you know, the option a lot of people, like we said earlier, don't want to go to the hospital. Nobody wants to die alone, and nobody wants to be quarantined, and nobody wants to say, this is the last time I'm going to see my loved one when they drop them off at a hospital. So these are crazy days. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, and I'm sure everybody listening is saying the same thing, because if you've ever seen anything like this, you're older than dirt, okay? Because I think that was 1918. But then I have that other part of me, Chuck, that says we have so many worse things going on. Like, I can't get that fact out of my head that 8.8 million people every year die from air pollution. There's no way these figures on coronavirus are even going to come close to that. But no one cares about that. No one cares about the air pollution. No matter how many pictures they're seeing of clear skies and cities, no matter how many reports, 60% less air pollution in major cities since the shutdown. Nobody shuts down the world for that, for the important things. You know, now they're talking about mass starvation after this because the food chain is breaking down.
Well, I am much more concerned with the food chain breaking down than I am the virus, that's for certain. I am much more concerned with the fact that a lot of people are going to be priced out of the food market, regardless of what the quality of the crap that is offered is. We're going to have problems here.
Soylent Green.
But one thing that's interesting is at the end of the year, we might be able to count a lot less pollution, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if some of those deaths will be pulled back. Because of the lockdown. And maybe people should start to consider, some of the unnecessary things they do.
Right.
Now, look, I'm not Mr. Carbon Footprint over here, okay? But I'm telling you that why are you burning resources for things that don't accomplish anything? If we consider a lot of the unnecessary travel, the unnecessary commerce, the unnecessary things that were probably done previous to the lockdowns.
Right.
And just start to reduce from there and think about necessity and need as opposed to just, whimsy.
Right.
And I'm not saying don't enjoy things or don't go out to do things that, you know, don't necessarily have an absolute purpose. Like, go to the movies if you want. But at the same time, why not consider that, consolidate it? Use less resources one way or another.
Right. Well, you know that here's the interesting thing is also discussions I've had over the weekend with young folk. I like to talk to young people because they seem to be, they get it. Okay. When you look at, because everybody's saying, well, when the restaurant's going to open and, you know, restaurant workers, when are they going to go back to work? And I said, well, over this particular plague, we'll call it a plague, more Americans are cooking than in the past 50 years. Now, I know how, and thanks to Dr. Bernard and how he taught, you know, how you can change your taste buds in 12 weeks, and he proved it. I thought to myself, well, for a lot of people, right now this quarantine's at least 7 weeks. To change human behavior doesn't take that long. So I had made a post, what do you miss and what do you not miss during this pandemic? Because I noticed there's a lot less consumerism. People are learning that they buy a lot of stuff they don't need. They're all learning how to cook. I mean, everybody went wild starting baking their own bread. And they're spending more time with their family, for good or bad. They're realizing they didn't need to drive their car for 20 trips a day. A lot of people and a lot of companies are saying that the people they sent home to work at home, they realize they don't really need them not working at home after this. So mm-hmm. if we change our lifestyle, or people have become accustomed to living the way where they're living now, the restaurant business may not bounce back the way that they expect. All these frivolous businesses, and I'm not saying they're frivolous, but I think you know what I mean. They're going to realize, well, I could do without that. You know, I could do without a $50 pedicure, because for 7 weeks I did my own toenails. You know, I cut my own hair. Or I learned how to cook, and guess what? My food at home tastes better, it's healthier and cheaper than going to fast food. You know, maybe people will appreciate the planet, you know, the ocean, you know, Venice's waters being clear again, clear skies. Maybe they'll say, maybe we need to change the way we live.
Well, you know, I share your optimism. I hope that there will be a portion of the population that'll see things that way. I don't predict that it's going to be a major portion of the population, though. But you know what? It only takes a significant minority to begin doing the right thing, to change everything. So, you know what? It's a possibility we could be seeing a change where, hey, look, you know, we might actually honor the idea of you know, the market dictating what it is businesses do, mm-hmm. right? Because after all, some things need to fail. And I was hoping that they would let the airline industry fail. I really was. Because is it necessary to be the size it is? Is it necessary to have so many restaurants? Is it necessary to have so many service industries? Oh, wait, you know what the problem is, Maria?
Yeah, that's the only
job. There's
almost
nothing left for work if you get rid of the service industry.
Well, let's look at the other side of that. This has also shown a lot of people the dark side of globalization, where mm-hmm. you have to sit and wait to get what you need from another country across the world that's also going through the same thing you are. Different countries hoarding what they have, not wanting to share. Americans have realized how little is produced in this country, and they're starting to say we want our factories back. So maybe this will put the kibosh on globalization, because Americans have realized they can't even get a face mask here without the benevolence of China or South Korea.
See, but even if they put face mask producers back here and other producers so that we have access in the supply line locally and don't have to request it from another country, even if that happens, here's the negative aspect of that. They're not going to bring back jobs that way, because it's all going to be automated. So what are we talking about here?
Well, we go back.
Time of innovation.
All right.
You know, Maria, this is where it comes in. Yeah, I'd love to see people be able to do some of the jobs that they can do without commuting and therefore wasting resources and taxing the roads and doing all that kind of stuff. It would be great. But we have to not lose our humanity at the same time. We can't become completely insulated in our own bubbles. We have to interact with others. That has to be a key here. And the other thing is, we have to be realistic about industry and exactly what the bottom line represents. Believe me, they're going to figure out ways to automate and disconnect everybody as we go. And
of
that's
course.
Part of the technocracy.
Well, but that's why Andrew Yang was making sense when he talked about, you know, a universal salary, whatever
basic
you want to call
income,
it, basic
right.
income.
UBI. Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, the government had no problem giving everybody a basic income of $1,200. You know, supposedly, you know, the Democrats supposedly are going to push that to 2,000 as a basic income until this is over. But if they could do it that way, why not do it all the time? Why not give everyone free health care all the time?
See, that's the big question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? If you can provide a test for everybody, supposedly, even though they haven't, if you can universally turn around and say, okay, everybody gets an income, right? Everybody gets relief here some way or other. Of course, small businesses, you saw how that went.
Right.
You know, multi-million dollar corporations and billion dollar corporations got their snouts in the trough right away. And, you know, whether you're Steak and Shake or the Lakers, hey, sometimes you get shamed into giving it back. But mostly you don't.
Right. Like Ruth Chris Steakhouse. For who the hell, what, $20 million? And if we didn't make a stink about it on social media, they never would have returned that money.
There you go. But that's the thing.
If they're not caught, they just keep robbing us blind. And we're supposed to, as Liv Ellipse Mnuchin said, he honestly said that Americans can live, what did he say, 10 weeks on that $1,200?
Yeah, well,
I'd like to see him and his wife live 10 weeks on that $1,200.
Let's see them live a week on $1,200.
A day.
They have a concept of the reality. See, this is the thing. Trump, even when he speaks, in his defense, he has no concept of the reality of most of us live in.
Of course
not. So the fact that he's talking like a crazy person, it means he lives in a different reality. And that's what all of these people from on high are doing. And here's the other thing. I'm not appreciative of the God complex that we have to keep applying, the superhero overlay that has to go to everybody. You know what? Some people are just doing a job. And some of them not doing it well. They're not superheroes, okay? Some people are good people and mean well and are benevolent in their motivations and why it is they do what they do. Some people are out there for the common good. That's for sure, and it is good to focus on them. But this constant need for a new superhero,
right?
This constant need for deification of people that are doing a job that they chose to do,
right?
We need to consider that as well. And remember that, quite frankly, again, there's a whole lot more of us waiting on $1,200. I'm not going to get one of those checks, but there's a whole lot more of us waiting on $1,200 than there is individuals thinking about how we can live for 10 weeks on it.
Exactly.
Which is irrational anywhere in the country, but okay.
Right. But remember, they always count on, hopefully, a lot of people starve to death before that money gets to you. Chuck, we're over time, so I want to thank you for joining me today. And who knows what will happen between now and the next 2 weeks when we talk again.
Absolutely. No shortage of hell or high water, Mom.
That's for
sure.
See
you next 2 weeks from now.
Take care, Chuck.
Take care.
Chuck Ocelli. Check his work out at ocelli.com. I hope you enjoyed today's show, because in a lot of ways we're just as at sea as the rest of you are, but it's always good to talk about the things that I'm sure all of you think about and maybe don't have a person to talk about, and that's why I do my show. So again, thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.